Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
This is not a negotiation. I'm running this team because the Reinsdorfs want me to, and I'm going to run it that I think is best.
And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
I think your play is embarrassing. The pro player thing, this is basketball.
Follow Locked On Bulls on social media. On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pet. And on Facebook, at Facebook.com/LockedOnChiBulls.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, streaming live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Our text and voicemail line's at 331-979-1369. Matt, we're inching closer and closer to the NBA trade deadline. How you doing?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Doing all right. Kind of a dull day so far as updates. I mean, we got kind of a few more Woj updates on the Anthony Davis situation, which sounds more and more like the Pelicans just may decide to wait this out and hear multiple offers instead of letting the Lakers pressure them into or try to leverage them into doing anything involving Anthony Davis between now and Thursday. So kind of everyone just like in a holding pattern. In the meantime, though, there are a couple of other interesting Bulls rumors going around, and most notably, and we can start with this if you want to, the Brian Windhorst update from his Hoop Collective podcast yesterday, saying that the other or a different deal that the Lakers are considering outside of their tireless pursuit for Anthony Davis is sending Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to the Bulls to bring in Jabari Parker.
The Lakers may do a trade that doesn't involve...
yes, hopefully we get to this.
They may do a trade that doesn't involve Anthony Davis. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I believe the reporting has been out there that he has not been included in any of the offers to New Orleans. I think the LA Times reported that, but I'm honestly behind. That is not necessarily the case for everybody. Caldwell-Pope is available and has been floated out there for some spots. One place that they have talked to, now I'm not saying this deal is going to get done, but one place that they have talked to is Chicago for Jabari Parker. And the thing about this is that Caldwell-Pope has to approve of a trade. That's one of the reasons why it kind of gets known a little bit, because they have to run it through him. And I'm not sure that's going to get done, that's been discussed. But some team, I mean, the Bulls really like Caldwell-Pope. They're not doing that, like, you know, to do anything. But Kentavious Caldwell-Pope,
who we're high on,
you know, Jabari Parker could be a Laker within the next few days. Which, you know, Jabari's a polarizing player, but you know, he might be interesting on the Lakers. I think the Lakers are in 10th place right now. Let's just be honest. And yeah, they have champagne dreams about what they're going to get, but this team wants to make the playoffs, and I think they definitely made a mistake with LeBron playing him 40 minutes. And I granted, they were not plotting on him to be an overtime game, and they caught. But LeBron obviously either came back a little too soon or they overplayed him. And now I'm really worried about how he's going to go with that groin in the next few weeks. They're beginning a road trip. It started in Golden State. And now they're coming east, and they're playing Indy tomorrow. Then they're playing Philly and Boston on the road. Not good. Don't be surprised if they do something with Caldwell-Pope to try to bolster their roster. And
Jordan, what do you think about that?
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Who we're high on.
Oh, my. I just think it's so funny. First, I think it's funny because the way that Brian Windhorst put this is more so just a very big favor for not only Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, but for Rich Paul and for LeBron James and also for the Lakers. Because let's all remind ourselves really quickly that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has veto power over anywhere he goes.
Yeah.
So in order for this deal to happen, like the Bulls would have to be in agreement that they would buy him out immediately because he's not coming to a 12-win team here. So yes, a deal could happen. And Brian Windhorst was quick to say, I'm not saying that a deal is going to happen before the deadline is over, but he did want to mention the fact that the Lakers might be interested in Parker. But I just said, imagine going and playing with LeBron James in LA to running wind sprints and busting out pushups for Jim Boylan on a 12-win team with a leadership committee. And you had the power to avoid that.
Yeah.
What a wild little nugget from Brian Windhorst.
I think it was funny because that little afterthought is very much important. As you said, the whole, factor that KCP can actually veto this trade. And as you said, why on earth would he want to come to this team? And there must be some agreement for a buyout in place. And to that, I would say the other factor here is that most everybody knows that Jabari Parker's trade value is pretty minimal at this point. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to Casey Johnson of the Trib, you know, our friend of the pod who recently joined Mark Schanowski on the Bulls Doc pod for NBC Sports Chicago. That came out like, you know, a little earlier this afternoon. Casey basically just said, like, yeah, Jabari wants out, but the trade value there, like, the market is completely dry. Like, there's no real Jabari trade talk going on right now. So if the Lakers know that, and any team that is interested in Jabari's services for the remaining regular season after the deadline passes and into a playoff run is aware of that, then why would they bother dealing with some complicated transaction or surrendering anything right now to get Jabari if what people believe is true, that the Bulls will just say to Jabari, we tried, sorry it didn't work out. We'll just give you a buyout, and then Jabari can go pick which team he wants to play for.
That's true. Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, other than the fact that, like, maybe the Lakers want to get off some of that money, but still, like, to get off some of that money right now, like, especially on KCP's money, like, the only move there...
Well, so, yeah, he's on a one-year $12 million deal, right?
Right.
And Jabari is on a $20 million deal, so the Lakers would have to send something else to get that within that $5 million difference, you know, which is the rule these days as far as trading players, which I feel like a lot of fans throwing trade ideas around are unaware of. Because we are midseason, deadline trades have to keep rosters balanced. So all of these trade scenarios that I've seen people throw out there that involve like one megastar player and then, you know, a handful, like four or five players from a different team to balance contracts or whatever, or to equal value or get close to equal value. Like, none of these trades are actually logical because teams have to keep their rosters at the appropriate amount.
Like putting a trade. Okay, so let's do this really fast since it was thrown out there. So let's do it. So the one basis on this trade is, if this did happen, if this does go down, the clause in this is that the Bulls buy KCP out right away, right? And he's allowed to go to a contender or go really wherever he wants. The thing in this is it doesn't have to be a $20 million for $20 million match with the Bulls. It only has to be a 20 for 15. Like, the Bulls have a little bit of wiggle room here. But let's run through two scenarios, Matt, before we get into all of the other NBA trade scenarios we have. On top of all the texts and voicemails you guys left us with all of those, and I'm excited for Matt, for you to read those off for me, for us to dive into those, for all the trade scenarios you've come up with, and the ones that I've come up with, too, over the last 24 hours. But let's dive into the two that I got into. Factors in the fact that the Pelicans now have upped their asking price from the Lakers for AD, right? They've asked for, a combination of four first-round or second-round picks to be included in that monstrous offer from yesterday.
Right, yeah.
So the Lakers in this trade would be Jabari Parker goes to the Lakers. The Bulls get KCP back. The Bulls would have to find a contract that works in the $3 million range. Throw somebody in there on the Lakers roster. I don't really care who it is.
Hey, how about Michael Beasley? He's at 3.5 right now.
Sure. Or Lance Stephenson, yeah, even right at that, at $4 million. I don't care who it is. It's a filler.
One of the goofball veterans.
Right. To make it a little bit more enticing, I think I would be willing to part with maybe one or two of Memphis's second round picks here. But then I got into a scenario of like, why would I give up those two second round picks that we just got from Memphis, especially when they're going to be lower down in that second round? So then I'm starting to think, okay, what about Lonzo Ball again? What's Lonzo Ball's value? Especially because he doesn't want to go to the Pelicans, mm-hmm. right? So I'm like, all right, if we're willing to waive the veto rights on KCP and immediately buy him out, you start to bargain with the Lakers about doing that and taking Jabari's money. You free up the cap space on him, give the Lakers that, give the Lakers the 2 second round picks, and they're allowed to offer that up to the Pelicans. And then maybe you even have to entice them even more. If you want Lonzo that bad, maybe then you even have to throw Chris Dunn in there. And the money would match because Lonzo's contract is up. Is up there. It's at $7.5 million. So the money works. You throw in the 2 second round picks for Memphis. You throw in Chris Dunn. You waive KCP immediately and you get Lonzo in return. What do you think about that?
I think it's an interesting theory for a three-team trade. The one hang-up that I could foresee is the Lakers wanting to use Lonzo not in a secondary, you know, on the side trade that would, you know, net them maybe an interesting piece that they like better than what they are sending out, as opposed to using Lonzo in the AD trade. Because pretty much all of the offers that the Lakers have been throwing out there, according to reports, to get Anthony Davis include Lonzo Ball. And regardless of what LaVar Ball says about where he wants his son to be playing, you know, first it was, well, we want to go somewhere right. where he could be the starting point guard. And then Lonzo said, you know, I wouldn't mind playing in Chicago or New York. And then LaVar yesterday or this morning, whenever it was like, I think he should play in Phoenix. He should be the point guard of that young team. Like, LaVar can't do anything. He can, you know, he can whine and he can complain and he can say, I want my son to play here or there or wherever. But if the Lakers want to use Lonzo in an AD trade, then the Lakers will use Lonzo in an AD trade and not in some side trade that, you know, is going to net them what exactly? Like a pick here or, you know, a Jabari Parker there? Like, I don't know. I don't see them really using Lonzo in that trade.
All right, so let's say they can't get... let's say that they've just completely stalled and the Pelicans are like, okay, we're going to wait till the offseason and we're done with that. We're done talking with the Pelicans. The Lakers are done completely too. And they realize that... they realize that they can't move Lonzo to the Pelicans and that the value on him is going to diminish if they can't move him there, because not only does he not want to go there, but the Pelicans don't want him either because they know that they can't. So I'm trying to factor that in and keep that in mind here. So let's take that one step further and let's try to think about this in this perspective of going to a three-way trade. So if you could move Lonzo to the Suns and get the Lakers to cut salary this summer, I was thinking about this. You take on KCP's money. The Bulls take on KCP's money. Lonzo goes to the Suns. The Lakers get Jabari and they get the two second round picks for Memphis, the 2019 and the 2020. That goes to the Lakers. The Bulls get Josh Jackson from the Suns, who they've been trying to offload. And then for the Bulls' sake, because Josh Jackson has been, quite frankly, really bad, outside of that, like, what, 6 weeks that mm-hmm. he had last year?
Like, yeah.
Oh,
yep.
I would want protection on that, on taking Josh Jackson back, and also taking the dump on KCP and having to buy him out right away. I would want that protected pick from Milwaukee, which is essentially, since it's protected 17 through 30 this year, which is not going to convey, and it's 1 through 7 next year, in which, realistically, if Milwaukee's just as good next year, probably going to be 25 through 30, 22 through 30 next year.
Mm-hmm.
I would want protection on that. So I would ask the Suns for the first round pick. I would ask them for the first round pick for getting Lonzo. the Lakers get Jabari. The money's off their books. They clear $20 million next year. They have an opportunity to get 2 second-round picks that are going to be really high to give to the Pelicans in addition to an AD package. And then you could upgrade this package again, like I said. Maybe you have to include Chris Dunn in this deal to make it worth it. But you get a first-round pick. You get Josh Jackson. You move Jabari. I don't know. There's a deal there, but is that really worth it in the end if you have to move Chris Dunn and you're getting Josh Jackson in a 2020 first-round pick that's going to be a late 20s pick?
And I like your logic there. I'm with you on Josh Jackson. Like, that's, you know, a guy who once people thought was going to be did he end up going second or third overall a couple years ago?
He went fourth, I thought. Fourth.
Okay, yeah. So certainly compared to where he was drafted, has not lived up to expectations. People thought maybe it was just a down year and he was going to bounce back. And like you said, he's had like one stint of a month or so where he looked pretty good and like he had star potential in this league, but not really. But as far as what you're saying, where the Bulls might need to not only throw out those Memphis second rounders, but if that weren't enough, adding Chris Dunn as a sweetener in a deal like this, my thought would be, I don't know what other teams in the league see Chris Dunn's value as right now.
Right.
And my inclination would be that it's not that much. It is unfortunate that he has had another season disrupted by injuries. But when he has been healthy, and maybe some of it's scheme and maybe it's some of it, you know, Chris Dunn losing a certain amount of confidence because of the injuries or whatever it is. But right now, Chris Dunn does not look like an NBA starting caliber point guard. He doesn't even look close. Some people right now are saying, well, yeah, but he could still have trade value as a guy who another team who already has a starting point guard in place sees as a pretty competent backup point guard. And I would say to that, yeah, okay, I think that's fair. But when you're talking about the Bulls trying to unload Chris Dunn, if they decide that he and LaVine don't work well together and trying to get what they want for him, can you see the Bulls front office giving up Chris Dunn as a sweetener in a deal?
No.
Because they have come to value him at that low of a price, because I don't see them viewing Chris Dunn that way. As much as we all be losing faith in Chris Dunn right now, I think the Bulls front office would be reluctant to just, as you are suggesting, throw him in as a sweetener, so to speak.
Yeah, and when I originally wrote this deal down, I don't even have him anywhere on this. And that's why I was like thinking more as I'm talking this out, I'm like, why would the Lakers do that? But this all goes back to the fact is like, how badly are the Lakers trying to like, be competitive this season, you know, and make these deals. Acquiring Jabari, like, okay, that could maybe help you, like, with the scoring this year. And I guess it all just circles back to, are they willing to move Lonzo in any scenario that doesn't include an AD deal before the deadline?
Right. That's kind of what I was saying. They might be trying to keep Lonzo in their back pocket to use exclusively for an Anthony Davis trade.
Right. So
whether that happens by Thursday or if the Pelicans wait, the Lakers want to hold on to Lonzo so that they can offer Lonzo up again in a new and or different package in the summer or, you know, leading up to the 2019 draft. I think that if they don't get AD in a deal by Thursday, that Lonzo will still be on the team. That's what I think.
I think you're right, too. I think that's right. So maybe this second scenario that I was talking about, maybe that is more likely if an AD deal does happen before Thursday. Then if the Pelicans really don't want Lonzo, then this move does make a little bit more sense. They can reroute Lonzo, and they'll need assets that the Pelicans actually do want, which would be, look, at the end of the day, with Windhorst saying that too, look, if the Bulls really think that they're high on KCP,
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope,
who we're high on,
that can wait till the summer. He's a free agent then. That can wait. If they want to sign him then they go after him in the summer. There's no need to do a swap for Parker and KCP right now. There's no need for it. And he can veto it immediately.
And I don't know about you, Jordan, but I'm not that high on KCP.
No, man. No. Has anybody taken a look at his basketball reference at all lately?
I'm staring at it right now. It is not good.
No, it's
it is
awful.
As bad as I figured it would be.
I mean, for a dude that's been in the league for 6 years and started for the first 5 years of his career and been mostly healthy, I mean, the dude's a career 41.1% shooter. Per 36 minutes, played 441 games in his career and started 360 of those. He's averaging 14.2 points per game.
And, like, he doesn't do anything else. Like, 1.1 assists per game, not even 3 rebounds per game. Like, the dude doesn't do anything.
Like, his best three-point shooting year was in 2017-2018, where he shot 38.3%.
I was
going to
say last season, right? He shot, like, 38%. So yeah.
I'm like, pass.
I don't, if Wendy is correct, and that wasn't just lip service, and the Bulls actually are interested in KCP, I don't know why.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Who we're high on.
So, let's move on. Want to take some texters, trade scenarios, and then we'll just kind of intermix our own trade scenarios that we had popping up in between texters and callers. And you can always do that in between now and the trade deadline and even after that at 331-979-1369 and at Locked On Bulls on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley and at Bulls_Peck. Matt, what's first up on the docket from the text line?
Okay. Well, before we get to that, just because it came across my updates right now, this is from Shams. As we are recording on Wednesday or Tuesday afternoon, Memphis, strong talks to move franchise star Marc Gasol to Charlotte, league sources tell The Athletic. Doesn't really affect the Bulls in any way that I can see. But, you know, there's been talks that Memphis is looking to move Gasol and Conley. So there's that. Just wanted to keep y'all up to date. As far as some proposed trades from our Locked On Bulls listeners, before we get to the text line, this one came to us on Twitter from Steven, and I think it's really fun, and we should address it. Here's a fun three-way trade, and he has here, just so I can break this down for you. The Bulls are getting Kyrie from the Celtics and Elfrid Payton from the Pelicans. The Celtics get Anthony Davis from the Pelicans and Chris Dunn from the Bulls. The Pelicans receive Jabari Parker from the Bulls and Marcus Smart from the Celtics, and adds Celtics would need to send the Pelicans some first round picks. The Bulls get to keep theirs. It's a fun three-way trade. The Bulls pick up two rentals with the aim to convince Kyrie to stay. Celtics are able to get Anthony Davis by moving Kyrie, and the Pelicans get a point guard so that Holiday can play his preferred two-guard spot. Jordan, I'll let you take a stab at that one first.
I was talking to Steven in direct message, and I don't get it. Why would you trade for a point guard that clearly doesn't want to come here? I don't understand it. Like, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And I'm sorry, but you got to be in the parking lot of the arena of the trade machine, man. Like, go back to the trade machine and come back, please. Yes.
Wishful thinking. It is wishful thinking from a Bulls fan. Because guess what? The Pelicans getting Jabari on an expiring deal, Marcus Smart, who did, you know, I guess you could say that's a team-friendly deal that he signed with Boston last summer, and what, based on his comments, would need to send the Pelicans some first-round picks. So I don't know what some means to him in this proposal. Two, at least, maybe three. I think the Pelicans laugh at that offer. You want us to give up AD, and you're going to give us Jabari, Marcus Smart, and a few picks? That's not even better than the Lakers' offer that they've constantly been saying no to. Why would the Celtics do that, in addition to why would the Pelicans do that? I mean, yeah, you're getting Anthony Davis, but we have heard repeatedly that whatever happens, and even if he is sent there from the Pelicans, who don't give him a say in where they trade him to, AD said he's not re-signing with the Celtics. So would they actually give up Kyrie to risk AD coming here for a season? And especially with some of the comments Anthony Davis' father has made about the Celtics organization, and you know how they were so mean and awful to Isaiah Thomas, whether or not you buy that, but clearly to me, the Celtics are out on AD. At least that's how it sounds right now. So yeah, in this dream trade scenario, the Bulls get Kyrie and can try to convince him to stay. It's not happening.
On a 12-win Bulls team with Jim Boylan as your head coach. Get back at it. Go back to the trade machine and see what else you can come up with for us. But we appreciate your optimism in this tough time as being a Bulls fan.
All right. So here's one that actually, to me, is an interesting proposition. This is Johnny from Logan Square. Shout out, Johnny. I am also in Logan Square. Let's get a beer sometime. What do you guys think about making a move for TJ Warren? He's on a very friendly contract, a young scoring wing on a team that's stocked with young wings with plenty of upside. I know he's fairly weak on D, but the guy can shoot from three and would space the floor for Markkanen and LaVine. Jordan, what do you think about this TJ Warren kid who's actually playing pretty decently for the Suns this season?
Yeah, I was messing around with the Phoenix Suns because I was like, and I said this I think late last week too. I was like, what are the Phoenix Suns doing with all these wings? Like, what are you guys doing? Like, you guys haven't had a point guard in a decade, and yet you guys have signed like 8 wings. His contract is weird, and it's on a four year like $44 million deal,
$47 million
deal.
4 years, 47.
Looking at the breakdown,
which he signed at the beginning of the 17-18 season. So he's in year two of that deal, so he's got 2 years left next season and the season after.
Looking at the breakdown of that deal, I mean, it's not awful, but he is, what, 20? He's 25?
25.
Going to be 26. I mean, he's 6'8". I don't know. Can he play this small?
Yeah, he's almost 26.
Guy that's actually going to be able to play the wing or switch between the two and the three. Not a guy that you can jam in the three like you tried to do with Jabari, and clearly that didn't work. Like, I feel like that's what TJ Warren is. And look, I'm speaking from a position of where I haven't really watched a whole lot of tape on TJ Warren.
So what Johnny proposed, and I didn't finish reading his whole proposal because it came in a series of texts and I was trying to get them in the right orders. So he said he proposes TJ Warren and Bender for Dunn, Portis, and Lopez, maybe throw in a second rounder. The Suns have little to no point guard presence and limited depth at the forward position. They might consider signing Portis come summer to go alongside DeAndre Ayton, and they'd get Lopez off the books to open up some cap for them. So that's what Johnny was thinking. Warren and Bender for Dunn, Portis, and Lopez, and maybe a pick is thrown in. What do you think?
Dunn, Portis, and Lopez? You really think that low of Dunn and Portis together? That you would get just TJ Warren and Bender back? Bender stinks, man.
Yeah, Bender's not great. But I mean, I think this is kind of what I was saying to you earlier, Jordan. Like, the fan base right now has a much different opinion than the front office, it seems, as far as what the value of Chris Dunn is. Because Johnny here seems to think that the value of Chris Dunn is not that much. And right now, based on his play, I would have to agree.
I agree with that. But like, even just Bobby by himself, man. Like, having a little bit of control over him, especially, you got to consider from an objective standpoint, having that control, thinking about his injury this year, what he gave up as far as an extension from the Bulls at that price point, think about half of what he was offered at 54 million? Let's just put it at that price point.
Yeah, around there.
Even 4 years at $30 million, that's what, like 8.5 a year? Like, a lot of teams probably would say yes in the summer to that. So having that type of control makes Bobby pretty damn valuable to a lot of teams. So maybe I'm crazy, Matt, and tell me if I am, but I think Bobby's value is higher than TJ Warren and Dragan Bender for Chris Dunn, Robin Lopez, and Bobby Portis. Like, I would have to have Milwaukee's first-round pick back. Like I said, and even if that isn't conveyed till next year, and even if it's a late first rounder, or you got to give me, like, if they're ready to get off Josh Jack and they're ready to just dip on him and they want Dunn and Portis back, then maybe I think about that. But I don't even know if the money lines up in terms of that. And I don't think it does. Or maybe it does if you include Robin Lopez. But still, like, I need more value than just that, because TJ Warren for the next 4 years doesn't do me a whole lot.
I mean, and you're getting him for the tail end of this season and two seasons after that. Like, you know, he's almost 2 years into his 4 year deal, so you're getting him for 2 years after this, not four.
TJ Warren's under contract till 2021-22.
Is that so? Next season, 2020-21. Are you sure?
Yes. According to Hoopsype, he's under contract until 2021-22.
Oh, maybe it. Okay, yeah, that's right. Because it was an extension that kicked in not 2 years ago, but this year. That makes sense. But yeah, I mean, look, I see the value in TJ Warren as a wing who can shoot threes that this team desperately needs right now. Like, I see the logic in it. But I'm with you. I mean, if you're taking that and Dragan Bender and giving up Dunn, Bobby, and Rolo, as you know, as little trade value as Rolo might have, to me that's giving up a lot to get that guy, who is, as Johnny also pointed out in his series of texts about this trade proposal, fairly one-sided player. You know, he's not great on the defensive end, which it, you know, at that wing position, ideally you're finding guys who can shoot threes and play some defense.
I'm not opposed to going to the Suns and saying, hey, you know, let's see if we can work something out for a couple of your wings. Like, if you are enticed at all about Dunn and Portis, but, I don't know if selling that low on Portis and Dunn is a great idea. So that's just my personal opinion though. All right, let's move on. Let's go to 773. Hey, guys, my name is Aaron from the 773. Love the podcast. Keep it up. My hypothetical trade scenario here is a package that involves Levine, Dunn, and Portis for one of the Portland guards, CJ or Dame. Please give me your thoughts. Matt, I've never really thought about this, but there has been some slight rumors about potentially Portland breaking up that combo up there, either of a Lillard or McCollum. So what do you think it would take to break that up? And do the Bulls have any of those pieces to even acquire one of the two of those guys?
Not the pieces that Aaron suggests. I know that we think that Levine is an all-star potential caliber player, or, you know, at least you and I do, and might have been an all-star this season were it not for the Bulls' atrocious record. So giving up Levine, especially on that pretty team-friendly deal, I mean, he's a guy getting you 25 points per game and you're paying him less than $20 million. Like, not a whole lot of people in the league on those deals right now, especially as the salary cap continues to increase and increase and increase. So Levine is a value right now on this Bulls roster and on their books. Dunn and Portis, all right, we've kind of gone over what we think their value is. But I mean, do you think that those three players can net you Dame or CJ McCollum? Maybe CJ, but like, Portis is on an expiring deal. Dunn's got, you know, one more. I don't, like, I know that there's been constant talk over the last 2 years about, is it time for Portland to break up CJ and Dame? And if so, what would they look for it? To me, it's not an automatic Portland says yes if the offer is Levine, Dunn, and Portis. And if I'm the Bulls, does that entice you enough, Jordan? Because I'm not convinced.
I think Levine and Portis, there's got to be another piece in there that's big to get McCollum. I think Dame's probably off the table.
Yeah.
I don't think the Bulls have the guys, unless you're willing to part with Markkanen and Carter, and that's just clearly not in the cards. I don't think that's worth it to do that. I think CJ McCollum's interesting, though. I would seriously consider that. If you could start with Levine and Portis and work your way down. Dunn doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, though. Like, if you're going to include him, maybe. Maybe it does, though. Dunn, Levine, Portis, both Memphis picks, and you need one more thing.
Just so we know money wise, this season, Lillard is making just under $28 million. He's on the books for almost $30 million the season after that. And then in 2020-21, $31.5 million. That's a lot of dough. And in those seasons, he's 29 this season. Or I'm sorry, he's 28 this season, 29 next season, 30 the season after that. So that is another factor to me, whether you're talking about Damian Lillard or CJ McCollum. The Bulls desperately need a point guard who can score and facilitate and be this, you know, versatile offensive threat that they really haven't had since Derrick Rose got hurt. Damian Lillard is very much so that guy. But do you want that guy to be on the back end of a pretty big contract, aging, and then facing a decision to sign Damian Lillard to some max at age 30 when 2 years from now, like, where are the Bulls in their rebuild and their relevancy, right, as far as being a playoff team?
Oh, man. That's interesting. Yeah. It's hard, man. Like, going through all these trades is very difficult to gauge the interest and, like, what the value is of each player because, you know, trying to be objective about your own players and at the same time to evaluate other teams' players, every fan base is going to, at some point, overvalue their players, you know, or undervalue certain guys that they don't want or they want to trade off. So I would assume that Portland's fans and their front office would say it would take more than just Levine, Dunn, Portis, and 2 second-rounders from Memphis to get a CJ McCollum deal done. And I would say the Bulls would probably say no to that deal too, right?
Probably. And I mean, as far as something that happens between now and Thursday, right, I don't see that happening.
But this is just talking generally.
Like, this is an off-season thing. Because guess what? Like, they had a bit of a slow start, but Portland right now is 32-20 and the fourth seed in the very competitive West. Yeah. So they may be still thinking about, we need to break up Dame and CJ someday and start this over because we may be the 4 seed, but do we really think we can compete against the best of the West, the Warriors or you know, even the other teams above them right now, Denver, OKC? That's not happening between now and Thursday. The Blazers are going to try and make themselves a playoff push and maybe, you know, be underdogs that upset people and surprise people. Right now, you know, it's very tight in the West, but right now they're paired up with the 5th seed Houston Rockets. And, you know, the Rockets have certainly been on a surge in Harden's tear, but, there's no reason for the Blazers to think that they don't have a shot to win that series and go to the next round. So I think that the CJ and Dame stuff is a little too early to talk about because I think they're not moving those guys before Thursday.
I'm glad you threw that in there. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, and just for context, though, so I gave you Dame's numbers on his contract, 28 this year, 30 next year, 31.5 the year after that. CJ, same remaining years as Dame, just a little bit cheaper. So this season he's making 25.7. Next season he's making 27.5. And then in 2020-21 he's making 29.3. So a little less than Dame, but still a lot of money.
Something to think about. And like we said, like, this is going to be a very interesting offseason for the Bulls. Like, if those two dudes in the front office want to keep their jobs, like, serious time, like, bold moves need to happen because, like, the apathy of this fan base is at an all-time high, man. Like, people are just starting to just really not care. And I know we've said this multiple times, but it's serious. The level of care for this team is at an all-time low. Okay, let's keep moving. Speaking of teams that are still in it, it brings me back to the Jazz. And I don't want to spend a ton of time on this because we did already talk about it twice in the last week. But Matt, I said we would talk about a 3-way deal that included Ricky Rubio. So I did come up with something, though. And you did mention already Marcus All moved. Interesting. Very interesting. Now that
Not official yet, but it sounds like they're working towards a deal to send him to the Hornets.
So this could change slightly what the pieces are that are moving, but still, let me throw this out there for you. So 3-way deal. If the Bulls want to squeeze themselves into this, let's entice for a second. So I got Jazz, Grizzlies, Bulls all involved in this deal. Couple different tiers to this, but not a whole lot of shifting in this. So first, Jazz receive Mike Conley and Shaq Harrison in this deal. Grizzlies receive Robin Lopez, Dante Exum, Grayson Allen, and the 2019 Jazz first round pick. The Bulls get Ricky Rubio and Tabo Cephalosha. That's the first deal here. So everybody kind of wins in this one. Jazz get who they want in Mike Conley, $30.5 million owed. The Jazz are losing one, two, three guards off their roster. So to fill in there, I threw Shaq Harrison in the deal. I mentioned yesterday's podcast wasn't really sure if Shaq Harrison could be dealt. That is true. He can be dealt. The person that can't be is Ryan Arcidiacono. So yes, you can send Shaq Harrison to fill out their bench, be kind of a reserve guard for them. Cool. The Grizzlies, Robin Lopez, you can send as filler. This, they can immediately buy him out. He can go play wherever he wants, aka the Golden State Warriors. Good for them. They get Dante Exum, a guy that they can use at point guard. Take a look. He's on a three-year deal now at 9.6, controllable, cheap. Grayson Allen, former first-round pick at $2.1 million, controllable for the next 3 years after this year. And they also get a first-round pick. Good for the Grizzlies after coming off that Conley deal. For the Bulls, you get to get off of the Robin Lopez deal. You get Ricky Rubio, who, perfect. You get Ricky Rubio for the rest of the year, convince him to stay when he goes into free agency, and maybe you even get to bring him back next, hopefully, friendly deal. Tabo Cephalosha thrown in there, too, because he's not playing a whole lot of minutes for the Jazz, like about 5 minutes a night, 5-8 minutes a night over the last 15 games, and just came off an injury, so not a big impact player for the Jazz, filler deal for there. The one thing that I was seeing about these three-way trades here, and I want to mention, and Matt, I want to get your thoughts, too. People keep throwing Derek Favors in there, and I understand why, because he's got an option. But look, Derek Favors, the dude has been starting almost every game for the Jazz this year, and he's averaging 23.9 minutes a game. When he's on the floor in 1,220 minutes this season, he's an offensive rating of 123 and a defensive rating of 103. That's a plus 23 net rating when he's on the floor. You can't trade a guy when you're in a playoff contention like that. You can't.
Yeah.
So to me, it doesn't make any sense if they want to be in the playoffs and trade away Derek Favors for simple salary.
I think
filler.
It goes.
So that's where I stick Robin Lopez.
I think it goes back to people knowing that Favors was kind of on the trading block this time last year for Utah, right? People were saying that he didn't really fit and, you know, trying to shove him around in different spots in the rotation. Like, you know, for whatever reason, Utah wasn't happy with it and they were willing to move on. And, you know, there were Bulls Jazz talks last year, this time last year, that involved Derek Favors, which, you know, to me was never really, like, I never really understood why. But, like, because of those talks, maybe that's why people have started to crop up and believe that Derek Favors is still, in the eyes of Utah and their executives, a movable piece. But, I mean, Jordan, you bring up a very good point. They're clinging to life in the Western Conference playoffs right now. They're currently a game ahead of the 8th-seeded Clippers and only a game and a half ahead of the 9th-seeded Kings. The Lakers are right there, and you expect that they're going to try and make a move, you know, once LeBron comes back. So, to me, it's like I'm with you. I don't necessarily know that Utah's ready to give up on Favors. As far as the, you know, the Rubio angle, I think, you know, you and I covered it pretty extensively, and I'm for it. I think it's one of the things that actually makes sense for this team right now that is in desperate need of some leadership. Rubio is a veteran who's been around the block. He's played for different teams in different markets. He's a smart player. Seems to be a guy that is well-liked by his teammates. You're about to lose Rolo. You already lost Holiday. So when it comes to, you know, quote-unquote veteran leadership, you know, we wanted Chris Dunn to emerge into that role, and now we're talking about how the guy barely has any trade value right now, at least in our eyes. So I don't know if Utah is willing to get this done. And, of course, the other factor here is what we learned just moments ago, and that there is some kind of Gasol to the Charlotte Hornets deal in place. I also just saw they're taking Gasol out of the lineup for the Grizzlies game tonight, which probably means that that deal is very close to getting done. So if that deal gets done, do the Grizzlies still want to look and turn around and move Mike Conley? And are the Jazz really keen on getting Mike Conley and sending Rubio in that direction?
Yeah, that's a good question. And who's involved in that deal is an even bigger question.
Right, exactly.
So, things to keep an eye on. Very, very close. And so we'll keep an eye on that. But I was curious, and you know, that's a way for the Bulls just, you know, to get something out of Robin Lopez if they really do want to bring in Ricky Rubio for the final 29 games of this season. I tried to, as much as we all laugh, I tried to squeeze Grayson Allen into this deal to get him to go to the Bulls. It wasn't working. So for all those people that made those jokes last year about the Duke kid.
Not funny.
But hey,
not
like
funny.
And maybe it was just me of lack of sleep or whatever, but I was like, maybe the Bulls did, like, the Bulls need shooting, and I don't know. Never mind. Just forget it.
They miss Doug McDermott, but they can't pry him away from the Pacers, so they'll have to settle for the next best thing.
One other quick thing, too, Shaq Harrison, you think about that, too. The guards that the Utah Jazz would have to give up, a lot of people think it's like throwing Shaq Harrison in there, like, that's not enough going back to the Utah Jazz. Fine. The Grizzlies could send Shelvin Mack back to the Jazz as well. So there's that too. And that also works. You can keep Shaq Harrison in the deal as well if you want to send two guards instead of one, or you can take Shaq Harrison out and put Shelvin Mack in there. So two guards going to the Jazz or all three. It doesn't matter. You can mix and match there. So pick your choice. But you're right, though. Detroit could still very well be in play for Conley. They got to find a way to make Blake Griffin happy up there, man. That dude looks miserable, and he is being such a pro about it.
I don't know how many post-game, you know, courtside interviews he can do where he's talking about his team not taking things seriously and coughing up leads and have his goofball teammates come in and crash his post-game interviews before he loses his mind.
Oh, man.
All right, George, can I throw one more at you from our text line? Because this one is fascinating to me. And it's something that I've heard starting to crop up on a few different, you know, crazy theory podcasts around NBA circles in the last couple of days. So this is the Bulls being one of the teams that reportedly Anthony Davis is not interested in signing an extension with, right? So this one comes to us from the 309. Hey, Locked On Bulls, what are your thoughts on trading for AD and then flipping him this summer to get a new core of young players? We could trade LaVine, Wendell, Portis, Dunn, and our first rounder to New Orleans. Then flip AD for young players from, say, the Celtics or another team. Obviously, the downside is if our pick ends up being number one overall. But what about your thoughts on this? All right, Jordan, I'll toss it to you in a second. Essentially here, I've heard people talking about this and saying, look, if the Pelicans want the best deal and the best package and they are eager to move him now, it doesn't just have to be the Lakers holding all the cards and trying to do whatever they can do and whatever Rich Paul can do with his various leverage strategies, like leaking that AD doesn't want to sign an extension with the Celtics. The Bulls could offer the very enticing package. The downside, if you're trying to get it done before Thursday, is, as our texter points out, not knowing what that lottery pick is now, whether it will be one, a.k.a. Zion, or something like 2, 3, or 4. But that even if you can't convince Anthony Davis to sign an extension with your team, that you can still take whatever collection that you're willing to give up for him because you're not thrilled about your current squad or your rebuild or whatever, in this Bulls case, their young core, and then flip Anthony Davis 4 months from now or a year from now and start over that way. I know it's a crazy idea, but to me, there is some logic to it. What do you think?
Take yourself out of Bulls Nation for a second and look at this. I know it's very hard to do this, but take yourself out of it and look at it from an objective standpoint. The Lakers, the Celtics, us, and maybe anybody else that's in play, of the packages, who do you think's package would be the best? And say for the fact that the Celtics wouldn't even include Jason Tatum, who has the best package out of all of them?
I mean, I feel like you're about to say that the correct answer is the Celtics, or do you think it's the Bulls?
The Celtics, 3 first-round picks, none of which I don't think are going to be in the lottery, right? And if one is, it's what, 10 through 14?
Yeah. The Celtics, for all the picks they have, none of them are Zion territory.
Hmm. I think I would consider doing this if I could do top one protected this year.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there, because this is talking about trying to do this between now and Thursday, sending away a pick that you don't know what it is. And if you're talking about starting over and just using Anthony Davis 4 months from now or a year from now as a hugely valuable piece to then get a bunch of new assets to start, start over. I don't know if AD's trade value will be anywhere near what it is right now a year from now, because if we all just assume that the reality here is that AD wants to play for the Lakers and only the Lakers, we've heard he'd be interested or open at least to the idea of signing with the Clippers, which would also put him in Hollywood, or our neighbors to the north, the Milwaukee Bucks, because apparently in a Pelicans-Bucks game after the fact, Giannis said, hey man, come play with me here. And the Bucks are looking like a very dangerous team right now. So maybe there is some truth to that. But it seems very much so that he mostly wants to just go play at the tail end of LeBron's career in LA and then be the guy on that Lakers team. So maybe his trade value isn't all that great a year from now. And you're talking about giving up what you have now, Wendell, LaVine, the number, and your lottery pick, to get a trade value for AD that's less than that a year from now. Think about the Jimmy Butler trade, what we got versus what Minnesota got. The other element to that is what you were just saying, Jordan, as far as you might consider doing this if the number one pick you sent away, or if the pick you sent away was number one protected. I think the Pels are less inclined to do that deal if it's number one protected, and I wouldn't, that's the only way that I would want to do that, because I'm not giving up on the prospect of having Zion Williamson under team control for like five or six years to get Anthony Davis just to flip Anthony Davis. To me, that is not equivalent to, I know it would take some luck, but if that does actually turn into the number one pick, a.k.a. Zion Williamson, I'm not giving up Zion for flipping AD for whatever the trade package is down the road.
Yep. And the basketball gods hate us, Matt. Hate Bulls Nation right now. And they're doing everything in their powers to just push in the opposite direction of everything right now. Like, let's be honest here. This season has just been a disaster. And it's everything has pushed in the opposite direction of the way it should have been. Rolling that gamble of 86% chance you don't get Zion, the minute you trade it without the protection, that 14% hits for the Pelicans. It's just the way it goes, right? And here's the kicker of it all that I think we're forgetting. This would have to happen right before the deadline to do this. Who has veto power till July 1st in this deal? Mr. Zach LaVine.
Yep.
And do you think he wants to go to the Pelicans? Absolutely freaking not.
No.
He would rather stay here in Chicago. And so by that time, by July 1st, this deal is probably already done with the Celtics and or the Lakers. So the point's minute at this point, right? And you need Zach LaVine in this deal to get it done. Otherwise, you need to include Lowry and Wendell, and that's just certainly not happening, and I'm not doing it at that point. So, Zach LaVine, he would say no in an instant, and he's already flexed his power. He's already flexed his muscle on that one, so he's for sure not going to a small market like the Pelicans. Absolutely not. Not in another rebuild. That would be the third rebuild in his career.
And I think Zach knows that, like, this is a really trying year, and this is a real bummer. And he was asked to do a lot this season. And, it could be that he was one of the people who were near mutinying against Jim Boylan just, a month or so ago, 2 months ago at this point. But I think Zach's a smart enough guy to know that, like, he's just got to grit and bear it through this tail end of this season. And Boylan's going to be gone. He won't have to put up with Jim Boylan anymore. Hopefully they will bring in a a savvy, smart, player-friendly coach with NBA experience who Zach can form a better bond with than Fred or Jim, and the Bulls can try again and start fresh. And I think he genuinely does like Lauri Markkanen. I think, you know, he has warmed to Wendell in Wendell's rookie season. And to me, the issue on the table for Zach being a much happy camper than he is now, you know, moving into this offseason to the next season, is A, of course, get rid of Jim Boylan, and B, it seems like LaVine and Dunn ain't working all that well together. So move on from Dunn and maybe find Zach LaVine a complimentary point guard. And Zach LaVine will be much happier in the big market Chicago City than he certainly more happy than he would be in New Orleans, where nobody cares about basketball.
Once the trade deadline's over too, Matt, there's a bunch of stuff I want to float by you about his game and what he can improve on this summer and all of that, because I think there's a lot of theories out there that we haven't discussed, but that we can save for maybe Friday or early next week. Some interesting things I've been thinking about over the last couple of weeks. But there's a couple other things before we get out of here I want to talk to you about, because it's trade deadline necessary. While we're on the topic of Zach LaVine, and also one more texter question on the last 10 minutes here. This is from the 502. What are your guys' thoughts on the Bulls going after someone like Frank Ntilikina from the Knicks, who's a young point guard and former top 10 pick with defensive upside, since the Knicks just traded for Dennis Smith Jr.? Matt, I got this question on Twitter too, about maybe trading Bobby Portis to the Knicks and getting Frank back in a deal there. What were your thoughts on this?
No. in brief, no. I am not as high on the franchise, as they call him, as some others might want to be. He has really struggled in his first two NBA seasons. Has struggled to even really get real playing time on a Knicks team that has nothing. Like, he is struggling to get minutes on a Knicks team that has nothing and nobody. Oh, and by the way, he's shooting 34% from the field this season. Like, other than being a point guard with size, I don't see the upside with him. I really, really don't.
Yeah, even though he's only 20, he stinks, man. He stinks. How many point guards have we gone through since Rose? How many of those guys have we actually developed? That's where I start and end the conversation. We were just having that talk, too, about you got to bring in a guy that can shoot. There's no coach on this team right now that has developed anybody that can shoot. And he doesn't bring anything else to the table besides defense. So if you're trading for a defensive point guard, you already have one. And I get he's younger and more controllable, but still. Like, I don't want him. I'm sorry, I don't want him. A dude that shoots 30.7% from three in a career 35.6% from the field overall? No, thank you. I'm out. Sorry. Even if it is for Portis, I'm out. Sorry. But yeah, that's where we're at trade season, about 60 hours or so, more or less, before the trade deadline ends. Nothing really going on, and that could be a good or a bad thing for the Bulls. So we'll see. I mean, Marc Gasol deal with the Hornets, not official yet, but it seems like they're inching closer and closer to that. So we'll keep our eye on things there. I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Tomorrow, like we said, a little bit of everything. If there's some breaking news that happens, we'll do that at the beginning of the show. And I'll also have Mark Karanzolas on the show too as well to break down trade deadline, what's going on with this Bulls team actually. So a mix of a little bit of everything. That show will be out sometime in the afternoon. So listen to this show, top of everything else we're doing this week, covering the trade deadline, an extensive amount of trade deadline stuff going on here with the Chicago Bulls. So follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. Drop us your trade deadline stuff at 331-979-1369. Voicemails, text messages, whatever you got for us, drop it there. Follow us on social media at Locked On Bulls. We'll take all of your trade deadline stuff there as well. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Who we're high on.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.